I want to talk to you about once upon a time. Once upon a time. What do you think about when you think about once upon a time? I mean, for most of us, our mind races to some former day Walt Disney type movie. Not today type, but way away type. Old once upon a time, and the princesses in the castle, and the knight in shining armor rides in on his trusty steed and rescues the damsel in distress. Once upon a time, they fell in love and lived happily ever after, and life was a box of chocolates, and on and on and on it goes. And we can remember how exciting those words used to be. They were, in many ways, an open door into an exciting world of make-believe, a dream world that helped you and I forget all the problems of childhood. Amen? And then, pow! You turned a corner one day and once upon a time became kid stuff. Once upon a time doesn't work in our culture, in where we are as adults, often after we've turned that corner. We discover the reality that life can oftentimes be a battleground and not a playground, and fairy stories were no longer meaningful. Amen? Lord, I pray this morning, God, that You would help me to communicate Your Word in a way, Father God, that we would leave this place if for no other reason, realizing that the relationship that we have with You as our Lord and our Savior is by no means a fairy tale. It is not once upon a time. It's right now. It's for present day. Lord, my life is, in some ways, it can be a battleground. But Lord, I realize that in trusting You with my life, it can be a place, Lord, of refuge in You. So, Lord, help me today. Anoint me to preach Your Word. Anoint Your people to receive Your Word. And Lord, help us to leave this place today changed by the power of Your Holy Spirit after receiving Your Word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. How many of you just want something real? Amen. I've found in my life I don't normally do this, but this morning I want to put this out there as not a precursor. What's the word I'm looking for? No, it's what you say before you say something. A disclaimer. I'm putting out this disclaimer that I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I just know that in my mind that the things that we value the most, and you are to be commended for sitting here this morning, because when something is very real and very important in your life, you will go through whatever it is to see to it that you're a part of that happening. Amen. I want to show you this morning a picture of dedication. I've talked about this a little bit, but I want to show you this morning this picture of dedication. These are people, maybe that's Mile High Stadium, maybe it's Lambeau Field in Green Bay, but these people are at a football game because they love football. You think you're cold this morning? These folks probably paid $300 to sit there in the snow. They probably drove through a traffic jam that was incredible to go and sit in the snow. Why? Because that football game is important to them. That's crazy. I wouldn't leave my house to go sit and watch a football game if I knew I was going to be sitting in that much snow. I'll do the preaching. Isn't that amazing? So you're to be commended. Yes, sir. We could chase elk in that. There's two of you this morning now. That's different. I would say it didn't cost $300 to go and hunt elk in that kind of snow, but that would be absolutely not true. But this is what folks will do when something's important, when they have passion. These guys are passionate about football, or they would not be there. And as your pastor and as everybody watching this morning on the internet, my passion, my desire is that the church would become that passionate. The thing says up there on the top, if our church had members with this kind of faithfulness and passion, we would change the world in no time. Amen? See, sometimes our world's a battleground. Can I just submit to you this morning that there's a possibility that some of you had to fight battles just to get here today. Some of you had to fight battles just to even get here today. There was every kind of distraction, every kind of obstacle. There were all kinds of things coming at you. You literally had to fight a battle. We come here today because we want something real. The search for something real is not a new thing, church. It's not a new thing. It's been going on since the beginning of history. Men have looked for reality and satisfaction in wealth, in thrills, in conquest, in power, in learning, and even in religion. Listen, I love things that are thrilling. We go hunting, it's thrilling to me. I used to go to work, it was thrilling. John has been lowboying this morning on the Callahan. That's a thrill. See, the reason why y'all don't agree with me is because you don't know. It's a thrill. What a rush. There are people that will jump off of bridges with a rubber band tied to them. How do they adjust that? Who's the first guy jumps off? We're going to have to shorten that up a little bit, Bill. He didn't bounce very good at all. We're going to shorten that up. Who's the next one? Not me. I am not doing that. People jump off of cliffs with the hope that a parachute will open in time for them to slow down before they impact the earth. Nope. People jump out of perfectly good airplanes. Brother, I'm gonna pray with you right now. Jump out of perfectly good airplanes. Listen, any landing that you walk away from is a good landing. I like thrills, but man, not to that extent. Jesus Himself said in Matthew, at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, "Lo, I am with you always." Amen. Lo, I'm with you always. I'm not sure that's exactly what he meant there, but it works. What are you looking for in your life? What is the reality or the satisfaction? What is it going to take to for you to be satisfied completely in your life? I'm pretty satisfied with my life, but I'm not completely satisfied. I'm not going to be completely satisfied until I make it. When I hear the gate shut behind me, there's really nothing wrong with all these experiences except that by themselves they never really satisfy. When you jump off of a bridge with a rubber band tied to you and you survive that, you want something crazier. I remember when we were in Zion National Park. I remember being in Zion National Park, and people climb those rock walls. They're sheer. They're flat. It ain't got stairs or anything. They just drive little nails in there and click their little deal in there and climb up and drive another nail and click in and go up there, and they make these tents on the wall and they sleep overnight. Listen, I'm not doing that. Would you, Dan? No way. I don't need that kind of thrill. Wanting something real and finding something real are two different things. Wanting something real and finding something real are two entirely different things. Like a kid eating cotton candy. Does anybody like cotton candy? What a letdown. What a letdown to bite into a cotton candy. Where'd it go? Like a kid eating cotton candy at the circus, many people who expect to bite into something real end up with a mouthful of nothing. Amazing. They waste priceless years on empty substitutes for reality. They've got VR glasses now that you can wear. Click it up to your computer, put these things on, you're instantly transported into another dimension where you're not going anywhere, but you think in your mind you are. It's virtual reality. Your reality can be whatever you want it to be through the computer device that transports you there. You will fall over. My kids, my grandkids. Put me in one of those. Because they knew that it was going to be a good time. And then they stood there to catch me because they knew I was going to get into it and fall over. And they were right. They were right because you're dodging stuff. Because you think it's coming at you. Because in your eyes and in your mind it is. Listen, there's a reality, church, in a relationship with Jesus Christ that you can't concoct in a computer. You ain't going to get that kind of thrill. When that gate swings open, when Jesus says, "Welcome in, good and faithful servant," when the gate shuts behind us and I stand before Him and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," there ain't no better day ever going to be than that day. Nothing is going to be more thrilling than to see the streets of gold, to see those pearly gates, to see Jesus, who died for me on the cross, welcome me into the kingdom. There's no greater thrill than that. No greater thrill. This is where the Apostle John's first epistle comes into play, and written centuries ago with this letter deals with a theme that is forever up to date. It is the life that is real. Your relationship, your life in Christ is not a once upon a time event. It's a lifestyle. John discovered that the satisfying reality is not to be found in things or in thrills, but in a person, in the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And without wasting time, He tells us about this living reality in the very first paragraph of His letter. And if you would read through 1 John 1 through 4, which we're about to do, we're going to learn three vital facts that are real in our life. Stand with me this morning as you turn to your Bibles in 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Sometimes we read Scripture and we just fly through it. But when you slow down a little bit and read it for what it is and for what it's saying, it will shock you. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Father God, this morning I pray, Lord, that you would let our joy be full. God, that our life in you would be such a reality, such a living reality, that God, we wouldn't have to wonder. We don't have to get up tomorrow and go, man, I sure hope I'm good enough to make heaven. Lord, we can leave today with a reality, with a no-so salvation that says, though the world and the devil come after me, I am anchored in Christ Jesus, and my hope is in Him, and my joy is complete, and I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. See, when we read John's letter, we discover that he enjoys using certain words and that the word manifestation, the word manifest is one of them. He says in 1 John 1 and verse 2, and the life was manifested. It manifested. It became something. A life was not, this life wasn't hidden so that we have to search for it to find it. It was manifest. That word manifest there means it was revealed openly. It was revealed openly. He told the disciples, we talked about it a little bit the other day, that the disciples had been with him for 3.5 years. They knew who he was. He had told them that he was going to go to the cross and he was going to die a brutal death, but he was also going to be buried, but he was also going to be raised 3 days later and go to be with the Father. They heard all that. He had told them that I don't know how many times. But it didn't sink in until the reality. And in fact, and when Jesus did die, they didn't go, okay, well, let's go hang out down at the graveyard because sure enough, he's going to resurrect. I mean, remember, that's what he said. No. He died on the cross. They took him off the cross. Well, guess we better go fishing. That's what they said. We're going fishing. But then, something happened. 3 days later, just like he said, he arose. See, he revealed it openly. If you were God, how would you go about revealing yourself to men? What would be the process that you would go through? How would you tell them about? How could you give them the kind of life that you wanted them to enjoy? Hand them money? That's what we see happening in America today. If you want somebody to be your follower, they just give you money. Because money is all where it's all about. No, money isn't what it's all about. God has, in fact, revealed Himself, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, He has revealed Himself in creation. You don't have to hear it from me. You can look outside. You can go walk through the redwood forest or the Umpqua National Forest and see trees that are beyond your imagination. You can just like this morning, the pictures that you took up on the top of the Callahan of the sun, it was absolutely breathtaking. God painted that. That didn't just happen. You could, maybe when you were driving into the church this morning, you looked up here on the hill above the exit at Myrtle Creek and you saw all of the trees up there that were frosted, that the fog had froze on them. And it looked like a winter wonderland and there wasn't a drop of snow anywhere. I don't know what you think about that kind of stuff, but when I think about that kind of stuff, I think, man, look what God did for us just so we would enjoy the ride to church. Just so He could show off what He can do in His life. Listen, look at me for a moment and just you can look at me and say, that's what He can do. I'm telling you, He can. If you knew me before, and I say this a lot, but it's all I have, is to compare who I was to where God has brought me, and He ain't done with me. He is still knocking chunks off of me right and left. And He will you if you'll allow Him to. God has revealed Himself much more fully, church, in His Word, in the Bible, if you'll just get in it, and if you'll just read it, and if you'll say, God, what are You saying to me through Your Word? I don't want a once upon a time. I want a right now and forevermore. The good old days. Forget the good old days. You can't go back to that. Give me some of that right now, God. Give me a brand, Lord, cloven tongues of fire. Fall on, set Your people on fire, God. Begin to kindle something in them. Lord, begin to do something in our church and in our lives that is so powerful, that is so awesome, that the world would run to see what in the world is going on. One of these days there's going to be, the old song is going to come to fruition. There's something going on in the graveyard. Amen? I mean, it's going to be crazy. Graves just, bam, busting wide open. I don't know if that's going to happen or I don't know how that's going to work. It ain't up to me. I'm just going on for the ride. Amen? Could happen. Could happen. Well, what about all them people that got burned up in the Twin Towers? God knows right where they're at. People been dying all along. Look at the Valley of the Dry Bones. I mean, they were bleached out, whitewashed in the sun. Prophecy. What? Mixed up. They were a mess. Bone came to bone. And then muscles form. Listen, God, if He created you to begin with, He can recreate you just the way He wants you. Amen? Don't be worrying about that kind of stuff. God's final and most complete revelation is in His Son, Jesus Christ. We see it in nature. We see it in God's Word. But we have the manifest presence of God virtually seen in real time through the Son, Jesus Christ. Man, I've got my life, Ron, staked on that. Staked on it. I'd rather stand with the Lord and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by the Lord. any day of the week. Man, you're a fanatic. Yeah, I am. You want me to tell you something about fanatic? Fanatic is somebody that will get the tar beat out of them, nailed to a cross, and die because he loves me. That is fanatical. Is fanatical a word? Somebody's writing that down. My wife's going, I have to go home with him. I have to try and communicate with him when he uses that kind of word. Pray for her. She needs it. God. Wow. See, you're covered, babe. You're good. God is... Sometimes I think we feel like that it's a secret. We've been talking on Wednesday night about the gifts of the Spirit and in how it is involved in worship. And the question keeps coming up, how do I know what my gifts are? You know what your gifts are by developing the relationship between you and God, and He'll reveal to you what your gifts are. I know it doesn't sound very spiritual. It doesn't sound very spiritual sometimes, but I can say in my life, one of the things that God has gifted me with, and it's not really a spiritual thing, but I've seen God show up in the midst of it time after time after time, and that's driving truck. I know that doesn't sound spiritual. But not everybody can do it. Not everybody can hook up 9 or 10 axles and go haul something that weighs a gazillion pounds and get it from point A to point B without killing somebody or yourself. Jay, it's like pulling up to the shovel and they say, well, we're going to put a half a load on you here and then you're going to back for 3 miles to get the rest of it. It ain't everybody can do that. So yeah, I think it's a gift and God has enabled us to do those kinds of things. I firmly believe that. But I've got other gifts that God can use right here in the church. One of them is running my mouth. Oh, now there's no comment. Keep it running, brother. So God has revealed Himself in creation. How many times have we went outside of the church and seen deer and stuff running around out there? It's part of His creation. He's revealed Himself in His Word. Listen, you don't have to go to some psychic to find out what your future is. He wrote it down for you. It's His story. He revealed it in creation and in His Word. And then He sent His Son. We talked about this the other day. Can you imagine Mary? I wish the people could get a mental grasp of what Mary had to have gone through. Mary, the Bible says, pondered those things in her heart. The angel just shows up and said, hey, guess what, sweetheart? You're going to have God's Son. Hello, I've never been with a man. Don't matter. You are going to bear the child of God. And she lived in a culture that would cost her life. And what did Mary say? Be it unto me as you have said. She never batted an eye. I want you to learn what John 3:16 is really all about. And I want you to go, and I want you to tell all the guys that you work with what it means. You're talking to the wrong horse. Are you kidding me? Be it unto me as you have said. I'm just going to go. I might not get received, but I might. I might get ridiculed and rejected and run out of the plant, but somebody might make heaven their home. I'm just picking on you, all right? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But what would happen? Let me tell you something. It ain't just George. I can show you in Scripture where it said, go ye, and ye be ye. Every one of you is ye. You don't like ye? How about whosoever? Same one. Whosoever. All y'all. I'll do the preaching. All y'all. I don't have any idea where I'm at again. All y'all ain't in my notes, but I appreciate the help. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse 9. Listen, if we can slow down on the trigger, sweetheart. If we can believe anybody, if we can believe anybody, we can believe Jesus. Amen? Amen. Listen to what he said. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Because Jesus is God's very revelation of Himself. He has a very special name. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of Life. You listen, now I'm not talking about once upon a time. I'm talking about now and forevermore. He is the Word of Life. The same title opens John's Gospel in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the... I don't even know where the beginning is. Somebody said Genesis, but I got news for you. It was way before that. It was because God has always been. Well, who is God? I am. Well, that cleared it right up. It speaks to the awesomeness of God. He's been always, He's now, and He always will be. That's how big God is. That's how come God can forgive your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more forever. That's how big God is. I am. Tell Him I am sent me. What? Who's I am? Well, I am. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's all of that. I am. Why does Jesus have this name? In this gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why does He give this name? Because Christ is to us what our words are to others. Listen to what I just said. Christ is to us what our words are to others. We know the reality of God. We know I don't have to look very far to see what God is and who God is and what Jesus is in my life. I recognize it right up front. But somebody that doesn't have the relationship with Christ that I have, I can tell them what He is. Listen, this is how I used to be. That's why your testimony is important. That's why no person can say, I don't know how to preach. Well, you might not know how to preach, but you know who you are. You know what God's done for you. Tell them that story, because that story will change their life. Our words reveal to others just what we think and how we feel. Christ reveals to us the mind and the heart of God. It's the living means of communication between God and men. To know Jesus is, in fact, to know God. To know Jesus is to know God. John makes absolutely no mistake in his identification of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Son of God. I can't get my mind away from that conversation between the angel and Mary. She pondered those things. She pondered them. She's like, man, have you ever had one of those things you just couldn't figure out, but you said okay anyway? Get a GPS and just follow it. Go where it tells you to go. Put in a destination. See what it does. You're either going to trust it or you're not. And sometimes they will get you in big trouble. Sometimes you don't pay attention to it and you get yourself in big trouble. We have the Holy Spirit, which is a much greater I was trying to think of what GPS would stand for in a scriptural sense. God positioning spirit. GPS. God's positioning spirit. See there? It works. Thank you, Dan. John warns us in his letter to not listen to false teachers who tell lies about Christ. People get all up in arms when they hear stuff on the news. One of my baby granddaughters thought that the world was coming to an end yesterday because a meteorite was going to crash into the planet and kill everybody. I said, well, all you got to do is pray. Just pray. And then it won't matter if it hits the earth or not. Because you'll be prayed up. Can I buy an amen from somebody? Glory. Don't listen to the false teachers, which is really basically all the news people are. Works for me. Listen, I've never walked away from sitting down and watching the news, whether it's Fox News or anybody else's news, and going, man, I feel awesome. That was great. So wonderful. I'm so glad I just wasted an hour. Feel worse now than I did before I knew. When you know what this says, you can walk away from this going, man, it doesn't matter what happens. I know where I'm going, and I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Think about that. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Do you want to know where you're at? Do you want to know who it is that you serve? Do you want to know what your relationship is? Right there. I mean, that's pretty plain. If a man is wrong about Jesus Christ, he's wrong about God. Because Jesus Christ is the final and the complete revelation of God to men. We're talking about a God that so loved you and I that He left the comfort. Listen, some of you left your homes this morning. It was 73, 74 degrees inside. The coffee was on the stove. Maybe the aroma of bacon and eggs was flying through the house. Maybe it was just your recliner was so awesome and it was so great. But yet you left all of that to come and sit in the ice box of the church because you just had to be where God and His people are at. Let me tell you something. That's awesome. Jesus is the complete revelation. Look, how many of you know what the Trinity? What does that mean? The Word. Don't get ahead of me. Hands up. Jeannie's like, all right. The Word Trinity is a combination, listen to me, some of you need to write this down. The word Trinity is a combination of tri, T-R-I. What does tri mean? Three. So the word Trinity is a combination of tri, meaning three. And it's also got unity in it that means one. Go ahead, Jeannie. A Trinity is three in one or one in three. Amen? Isn't that amazing? That's what the Trinity is. So to be sure, we don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but the truth is taught there. The Trinity is there. John knew Jesus face to face. He and the other apostles heard Jesus speak. They watched Him. They lived with Him. The reality is they studied Him carefully and even touched His body. He was very, very real to them. Is He real to you? Is He real to you? They knew that He was real. They knew that He was not a phantom. They knew that He was not a vision. But the reality is, He is God in human form. See, some 20th, actually it probably would be better to say the 21st century. Are we in the 21st century now? I'm so old now, I've lost track. Some 21st century student may say, yes, and this means that John had an advantage. He lived when Jesus walked on the earth. He knew Jesus personally, but I was born 21 centuries too late. But church, let me just tell you something. That is where that student is wrong. That is where that student is wrong. It was not the apostles' physical nearness to Jesus that made them what they were. Listen, you go back and learn and study about the apostles and the early disciples and the deaths that they underwent. You don't do that for a fairy tale. You don't get burned upside down on a cross because of once upon a time. See, it wasn't the physical nearness. It was their spiritual nearness. It was their spiritual nearness. They had committed themselves to Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. And Christ was real and He was exciting to John and to his colleagues because they trusted Him. But trusting Christ, by trusting Him, they had experienced eternal life. And six times in this letter, John uses the phrase, born of God. My question to you this morning, as I begin to wrap this up, I'm not closing, I'm just beginning to wrap it up. The question is, are you born of God? Have you been born again? It was not just some idea that John had invented. He heard Jesus use these words in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Except a man be born again, Jesus said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't be good enough to make heaven your home. You must be born of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. It ought to not be a shock. Listen, there must be a transformation of our lives. The easiest way to describe it is to be born again. Amen? No, you cannot enter a second time into your mother's womb. You're born of the water, and now you're born of spirit. There's a spiritual rebirth. And America needs it. Yes, ma'am. Hold your horses there. Speak. handheld. It is here. Try it again. Hello, hello. It's on. Green light and all. How do I know? Is it muted? Check, 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 check. Just stand up and talk real loud. Here. Talk right into that.
Okay, I'll start over again. It took me a long, long time. I've been a Christian since I was like knee-high to a grasshopper. But I tried to be good enough. I gave up a couple of times because I could not do that. I turned Catholic because I thought that was the way that I could be forgiven. And finally, one day when I was, I don't know what, in my 30s, Jesus just hit me on the head. And he said, you know what, you might as well quit that. I'm glad that you're trying to be good, but you cannot get there without taking my hand. And it was like, it's that easy. I must have cried for a week. I mean, it's that easy. All you have to do is accept him, and he will get you there.
Amen. 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 Just accept him. Too many times we want to figure him out. I had a young lady tell me one time, well, I want to try Buddhism, and I want to try Confucius, and I want to try all this and that. And I said, why don't you do this? Let's do this. Why don't you just trust Jesus? And if he's not real to you, then you can go try all that. She never did ever try the rest of them. Because Jesus became very real to her. Amen? So, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Eternal life is not something we earn by good works or deserve because we're good. Eternal life is the life that is real. It is the gift from God to those who trust His Son as their Savior. You cannot do anything at all to make your life good enough to go to heaven. You can't. You just only can receive what Christ has given you. A famous British writer was leaving Liverpool by way of the ship, and he noticed that all the other passengers were waving to friends on the dock, and he rushed down the dock, and he stopped a little boy, and he asked the little boy, he said, if I pay you money, if I pay you, will you stand down here and wave at me? Because there was no one to wave bon voyage to this old man. And so he rushes back on board. He leans over the rail. And there's something wells up within him of gladness. Because he knows someone is waving at him. Maybe it's a foolish story, but the reality is it reminds us that that man hates loneliness. We hate loneliness. We are moving into our holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the suicide rate skyrockets this time of year. Why? Because we find ourselves alone. Can I tell you something? Jesus said in His Word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. Whatever you do, I will be with you. I won't abandon you. I won't listen. Somebody needs to hear this today. All of us want to be wanted. The life that is real helps solve the basic problem of loneliness. For Christians, we have genuine fellowship with God and with one another. And again, Matthew 28 and 20, Jesus promised, lo, I am with you always. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Fellowship is Christ's answer to the loneliness of life. Joy is the answer to the emptiness, the hollowness of life. John in his epistle used the word joy one time, but the idea of joy runs through the entire letter. Church, joy isn't something that we manufacture for ourselves. Joy is a wonderful byproduct of our fellowship with God. In the midst of your darkest day, if you have the joy of the Lord inside of you, you can face anything. You can face anything. David knew the joy that John is talking about, and he said, "In thy presence is the fullness of joy." Basically, sin is the cause of the unhappiness that overwhelms our world today. Folks have looked for joy and peace and happiness and fulfillment in everything that the world offers. But they're left empty. And one day they will come to the realization that the only thing that they will ever find that in is the person of Jesus Christ. Sin promises joy, but it produces sorrow. The pleasures of sin are temporary. They're only for a season. But the pleasures of Almighty God last for eternity. They are forevermore. They are forevermore. Bow your heads with me. Today, the question is, do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The question is, if you died today, would you make heaven your home? The question is, if in fact a meteorite did hit our planet and destroy planet Earth, would you be scared out of your mind? Or would you rest in the knowledge of a relationship with an Almighty God that knows no matter what happens, I'm going to be with Jesus? He said we're going to have a new heaven and earth anyway. Today I'm asking you this question. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, don't leave here today without it. You can be born again right here today. You can have newness of life right here today. You can have the reason that Christ died on the cross. You can have that today. Forgiveness of sin is real. Forgiveness is real. He won't force it on you. You have to choose it. Joshua said in chapter 24, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I serve the Lord." So here it is.